Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, you speak English, sir? Parlo usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush, taking another much-needed day off. And today I'm flying solo. No co-host. It's just you and me. By the way, this weekend, it's you, it's me, and it's a lot of snow. You hear about this, Charlie? Folks, we're going to get clobbered. They are talking about possibly 40 inches of snow. Let me say that again. That's not a verbal typo. 40 inches of snow might be coming. That's taller than my wife. Okay, it's not actually. It's close. You're looking at me. Look, let's just put it this way. If my wife is outside, I could lose her very quickly. All right, she'd just be this lump out in the front yard. Should I move on, Charlie? Am I getting in trouble? See, it's funny. The snow is already coming. The snow is coming. It's not here yet, but I'm already digging deep. Okay, first up, the impossible question of the day. Yesterday's question, 45% of people have cut back on this in the last 6 months. What is it? Now, I guessed it like, you know, blogging and so forth online. Did you have a guess yesterday? You didn't? No? Okay. Here's the answer. By the way, I would not have guessed this one. Sweets. Sweet treats. 45% of people in the last 6 months have cut back on sweets. Now, I thought that during COVID, everybody was expanding and having, well, expanding, period, but expanding their eating of sweets. Did I miss something? Okay, well, anyway, that's the answer for that. So they have cut back on sweets. Today's impossible question is 11% of people have fallen asleep in this public place. Where is it? Yeah, Charlie's looking quizzical there. How about a Joe Biden press conference? Wait, no, he doesn't have any. Church? That'd probably be a higher than 11%, don't you think? Does Springsteen have any concerts planned? Okay, I got one. I got one, Charlie. Baseball game. It's 11%. Come on. You got a couple hours. Nothing's happening most of the time. It's boring. You're sitting out there. You know, you're not in the sun. The shadows kind of come over you. What do you think? Do you have an answer? Oh, in the booth, right at your job. Okay, yeah. Well, that might happen. I don't think 11% of people would do that, though. He's asleep now. Thank you. Thank you, Charlie. Oh, you're so vicious. Okay. Well, yeah, I'm going to say baseball game. We'll find out tomorrow. If you have an answer, please give it to us on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. All right. But first, here after the break, we are going to start talking about the future of the Colorado Republican Party. And, you know, we always hear about this is the most important election ever. You know, every 4 years we hear that about the presidency. I'm telling you what, folks, with the Colorado GOP chair election, it is the most important ever. Biden's in the White House, trashing our rights, you know, when he's cognizant. Polis is our governor, wrecking our economy. Cancel culture is in full swing. Just getting someone to manage the machine isn't going to work. We can't organize our way back into the hearts and minds of Coloradoans. We can't lead, shout, or retreat our way back in either. We're divided. We're outnumbered. People are losing hope. I'll be honest, that's the way a lot of conservatives are feeling in Colorado right now. And a lot have already lost hope. But Polis, here's the good news, he's reeling. The Democrats are overreaching, and 2022 is stacking up to be a red wave year. So, who's going to lead us back? It's the biggest leadership decision we've made, and that's coming up on March 27th. All right. Yesterday, Kasper Stockham went first and he did a great job. Today, we got four candidates and they're all going to give us their vision. We're going to give them one last crack to prove themselves to you and me. First up will be Jonathan Lockwood. Next will be Richard Mancuso. He's a late entrant into this. Then later in the show, we're going to have Scott Gessler. And finally, Christy Burton Brown. Christy Burton Brown, who right now, by the way, is the vice chair. So that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. Okay. But first up, let's take a break and Jonathan will be coming on. Right now, let's go to Extreme Auto Repair. Do you know when's the worst time for your car to break down? In a blizzard. My gosh, it's scary. It's terrifying. And by the way, bad weather is coming this weekend and probably a few more times this winter. So make sure your car is ready to go at Extreme Auto. First responders rely on Extreme. Sorry. Tongue-tied. You can too. So call 303-841-1071 or you can find them at klzradio.com.
The most frustrating part of getting your vehicle repaired is not knowing what they're charging you for. The team at Extreme Auto Repair has nothing to hide. Sean, Mike, Dave, and the whole team at Extreme Auto Repair and Parker want you to understand what's going on with your vehicle so you know how to prioritize your spending. They'll always be transparent because you're the one spending money. You need to know what's wrong so you can focus on the most important repairs first. Just ask, and they'll be more than happy to take you back to the service bay, open up the hood to show you what's going on, or hand you the part that's not functioning. Their philosophy is, why hide it? You might not know what to look for on your own, and the bill makes a lot more sense when you can actually see the part. Plus, you'll feel better knowing that they're not charging you for services you don't need. Take a look together. Schedule a repair now at klzradio.com/extreme. Promise is kept.
All right, Bruce Simmons with American Liberty Mortgage. Rates are low, so right now is the best time to get a reverse mortgage with Bruce Simmons. If you're 62 or older and you want to make your house work for you, give Bruce a call at 303-467-7821. Or you can find Bruce Simmons at klzradio.com.
You want to work with Bruce Simmons because you can trust him. Bruce is usually the only person you'll talk to throughout the entire process. He's the one who meets with you and your family to explain the loan. He's the person you call with questions. He answers his phone himself every time. He personally attends all of his own closings. He'll even stay in touch after the loan closes in case you have more questions. John Rush recommended Bruce Simmons to his own mom and dad because he wanted them to work with someone local, someone who had specialized exclusively in reverse mortgages for more than 18 years, someone who would guarantee their fees so the cost would never exceed what he quoted them at the beginning. Plus, John really likes and believes in Bruce. You already know you don't want to work with a national company because you prefer a more personal approach. So choose someone you'll enjoy working with and can trust completely. Find KLZ's Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise.
You've already decided to take your vehicle to a good shop for auto body work because you know you'll get your vehicle back faster. Now get ready to be wowed. Al Sturm founded a good shop because he wanted to offer his customers convenient service while controlling the quality of his work. Once you go online to get your virtual mobile estimate at klzradio.com/collision, stop by a good shop in North Glen or Commerce City after hours to drop off your vehicle any day, anytime. Because they have so many different OE certifications, giving them access to parts directly from the manufacturers, Al and his team at a good shop have more control over how long your repairs will take. But more importantly, you know you can trust the safety of your vehicle. Customers continue to come back and refer friends and family because of the wow factor of their flawless finished product. Mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs.
God. Country. Reason. Now back to John Rush.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush. And on the line right now, we have Jonathan Lockwood, candidate for Colorado State Chair for the Republican Party. Jonathan, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Okay, let's jump right in here. Some of these questions, just so you know, are actually coming not from me, but from people online. I put it out there and said, hey, I'd like to get some questions from you. If you could ask the next state chair anything, what would you ask? So some of these are actually coming from the field. But first, Jonathan, I don't think I ask much. And so I just want you to know, if you win, every time that you convene the county chairs and bring them together, you need to give this speech.
We will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Okay, do you think you could do that, Jonathan? I mean, I'm not asking that you dress them all in flight jackets, but maybe have the music accompaniment behind you. What do you think?
I think that sounds like a great idea. Well, everyone, I'm Jonathan Lockwood. I'm running to lead the Colorado Republican Party. You can learn more about me at lockwoodforcolorado.com.
Lockwoodforcolorado.com. Okay. Now, first question. Right now, there are prominent blue state Republicans like Rick Grenell in California, Lee Zeldin in New York, and they're smelling blood in the water. They're talking about running for governor. So here's a two-part question. First, would you say they have any chance? And second, how vulnerable here in Colorado do you think Jared Polis is?
Good. I think that Rick Grenell definitely has a chance. Californians are outraged beyond belief with Governor Newsom and especially the legislative Democrats who have trampled on virtually every right that you can imagine. In New York, I don't know if he'll have as much luck out there, but yes, definitely Jared Polis is vulnerable here in Colorado. Progressives are not thrilled with him. Conservatives are not thrilled with him. And when you have progressives and conservatives, you know, similarly outraged with you and also for different reasons, it's not a good position to be in.
Okay. And why are progressives outraged at him?
Well, I think that he has, in some regard, worked with Republicans better than some would have said or expected. He also got an A from a conservative economist earlier on and during the pandemic. Conservatives praised him essentially at the beginning of the lockdowns and such, and progressives were upset that he was not as forceful as, let's say, you know, some foreign leaders were. But he's in a difficult position. I mean, he has enraged moms over his vaccine stuff. And so it will be interesting to see who ends up being the candidate running against him and what issues will be the issues that he has to run up against.
Yeah, and I doubt many economists are really lauding him at this point. I mean, look, Colorado is always in the top group for, you know, business growth and economics because, let's face it, people pour in here and they pour in with big money in their pockets coming from places like California. We always have a booming economy, and our business growth in the COVID economy coming out of it is ranking near the bottom. So,
yeah, we're 50th in terms of ranking, rebounding. And also, you know, Elon Musk, Dana Lash and I were tweeting back and forth about, you know, fighting over Elon Musk, and he ended up choosing Texas because Colorado is not the hospitable environment that it, you know, usually is touted as, and we have to get back to where we were. And so Jared Polis is going to have to answer for that. Same with reopening schools.
Exactly. Great point. Okay. Now let's look at responding to our opponents. Now, as everybody knows, you support Joe Biden, but that doesn't mean you support everything about Joe Biden. And one thing I doubt, because I know you a little bit, one thing I doubt you support is the COVID bill. It's nearly $2 trillion with under 10% going directly to the taxpayers who are funding it. Hundreds of millions won't even be spent until 2022, 2024, probably the same time Biden has a press conference. I don't know. But when you look at, I know, my gosh, I've never seen anybody under wraps this long. But when you look at something like that coming out, if you're the Colorado GOP state chair, how do you respond to that? How do you rally the troops? How do you get the word out and let people know this is ridiculous? We're spending away our future for nothing.
Well, we have to really change the way the apparatus works. We need to massively increase and improve the communications potential of the political party as a whole. Now, as far as these kinds of bills go, people in leadership positions should be railing against the fact that we're doing these huge bills, these package bills. We should be breaking these things apart.
Agreed.
Making sure that first we help people, not foreign countries. I mean, when there's starving veterans in our own country and in our streets and the inner cities are abysmal. And, you know, the reopening schools hurts actually disproportionately Black and female and Hispanic students, and generally everyone. So we should be holding accountable Democrats for failing on their promises. And you know, it shouldn't be okay to spend $2 trillion under Trump, but now it's bad, and that's why I think consistency matters and conservatism matters.
Well, no, let me jump in here for a second. I know you don't like Trump, but wait a minute here. We've already spent that. This is simply additional money on top of that, and that's what really concerns me. Going into this bill, you know, had Trump been elected, he and McConnell and others only wanted $600 million, and they wanted virtually all of that in large $2,000 checks to a much wider array of Americans. This is going to have much smaller checks going to a smaller group of Americans and a huge percentage going to all these other things. So let's be clear on the fact that this is the follow-up bill. This is additional spending, and it is way, it's over three times what Trump intended.
Well, it is, it's unacceptable, and I think that,
agreed,
again, this is helping more foreign countries and companies, multinational companies, and the bailouts and all of it. It's disgusting to watch, and actually my progressive friends are just as sick of this stuff as a lot of my conservative friends. Now, that's especially outside of the political system. You know, progressives will cheer it on and say, oh, it's helping people, and maybe it helps some people, but at the expense of so many more people not getting the help that they need, and it's mortgaging the future.
Yeah, let me ask you about that really quick. Let me ask you about that, because obviously one huge difference between you, Jonathan, and the other candidates is you have a lot of progressive friends. Okay, you've taken some progressive stances, you've taken some very conservative stances, but what do your progressive friends think? I mean, are they cheering, I suppose, the fact that this is a huge bailout for blue states that have run their, you know, run their states into the ground? For instance, Florida has a little bit more population than New York, and yet New York is going to get over twice as much per person in money sent to it as a place like Florida. Basically, every place that ran its economy into the ground is going to get more money, and the states that ran themselves responsibly and balanced their budgets aren't going to get nearly as much. Do progressives like that? I would assume so.
No.
They
because
don't.
Because progressives, for example, in Oregon,
okay,
they don't want Kate Brown getting more money to waste and throw at cronies and burn in a heap of, you know, flames. It's just, you know, I think that progressives are just as sickened by this as conservatives are. And we need to articulate the issues at hand, that the government is blowing people's money and it's not going to people that need help.
Fantastic. Okay, the next question comes from Anil Mathai, and this is a good question. It's very simple. It says, ask what each candidate will get done in 6 months from now, 12 months, 18 months, and the end of their term, 24 months. So basically, what are some benchmarks that you have, things that you want to get accomplished with the organization in that time?
Yeah, the first thing that I need to, you know, hit home on is that we need to go local, and we need to build the party apparatus. We need to be able to empower the grassroots leaders and the activists. The county party chairs need a training from me that's actually going to teach them things, not just kind of make them feel like they're part of a cause. The days of training with somebody in the front of the room just kind of talking with people yawning and dozing off are over.
Okay, well, so I like that idea. Don't run on from it. What would you like to train them on that would be more impactful? Because I agree with you, a lot of those trainings have been pretty dull.
They're pointless. It's a racket, really, is what it is. Every single county party chair needs to be able to have press releases going out that look professional, polished. They need to become thought leaders in their area. They don't need to be, you know, some familiar face inside Republican crowds. They need to be out in the communities. They need to be promoted in press. They need to be media trained. They're going to have to drill. Some of them might not like it very much, but they're going to have to sit across from each other and pretend to be reporters and get each other comfortable with answering questions. Like they need to be armed to the teeth with skills. And that's the first thing that I'm going to do.
You know, really quick here, that's one of the things that sets you apart, Jonathan. And I noticed that in our first discussion, is that,
yeah,
you want us to be a little more high tech across the board with our county chairs. You want them not only to be able to interact better with the media in these ways, but I noticed that you want us to be able to target rival candidates and have people actually watching them looking for every weakness that we can exploit with press releases. Am I right?
Yeah. With me, you get a 21st century organization. I pull people in. I can get volunteers for a lot of the things we do. In order to do what I would do as chair would cost hundreds of thousands, if not $1 million at least, to bring in the talent and the people. And I'm not like, you know, some of the other people running that would need an entire staff to come up with a single tweet. I'm very forward-thinking. People may not always agree with me, but they could at least rest assured that, you know, they'll be able to hold me accountable. They'll be in rooms with me. I'm going to teach them what they need to be effective leaders and not just part of a cause or part of a movement, but really effective strategists. And you know, it's not all about the party chair or about the party, you know, spokesperson being in media, and that's great, and they should be doing that. But, you know, you can take the same quote and put every different county party chair's name on the same statement, or they can change it, whatever, and send it out to every single county party reporter. So that way you have this uniform aesthetic, you have uniform messaging, you have communications being pumped out like crazy, and then that all builds up and it creates, you know, a tidal wave of change, because words are very powerful, and so is technology, and we have to be using both. And I think the county party chairs, you know, I don't think that this should just be so much of a service organization. I think Christy's right on to go down that path, but it's not enough to go to the county party chairs and say, well, what do you need from us? We have to be empowering them and saying, here's what you can do here. Here's content and resources to do this. They need to be given the tools and skills to be effective.
Okay.
And so that's where I'm heading.
Okay. Really quick here, because we're running low on time. I got two more questions. I'm going to skip through a couple because I think this one's more up your alley. What have you been doing to organize and excite people at the grassroots level? And how do you plan to enhance communication between the state, county, and individual GOP members? Just take about 30 seconds on that one.
Well, we really need to build community both on and offline. We have to be a cohesive family. And, you know, like a Thanksgiving table, it can get rowdy, and I think that's a good thing.
Sure.
I'm a uniter. I'm a game changer. You know, a lot of people say those kinds of titles, but I've actually proven I've done it. And so that's what I would bring to the party.
Okay, really quick here. If you don't win, I am asking every single one of you this. Will you pledge to fully support the Colorado GOP? Will you pledge unity?
Supporting. Well, you know what? I don't know what these other candidates are going to do. It's been a lot of talk. I think that Christy has the right heart and passion and intentions in this. I think Casper's done a great job, you know, engaging with people. But I would find it extremely hard to support Scott Gessler, to be honest. And that may be another interview segment, but we have to have somebody that can actually unite the party and not just say they want to, but actually do it. And my candidacy.
Okay, but you're basically saying is if you don't think this person's going to be enough of a uniter, you're not going to unite. You'll branch off. Am I missing something? Or? And I'll press everybody this way, just so you know.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. If you're being told, I mean, if you have the results that I do versus the other candidates and you're told there's not a place for you in the party, I'm still going to be about the same values that I have been, and I will continue saying the same thing no matter what, and I will continue to support Republicans.
Okay.
But you know,
no, that's fair.
The party cannot be turned into an operation that funds people's friends.
Okay.
That is what has put us in this position, and I refuse to support anyone who is the chair in, you know, some sort of gravy train for shitty consultants that are not going to start winning.
Okay, so basically you're going to oppose cronyism. Okay, really quick here, 30 seconds, give your final pitch to the voters.
Yeah, so we cannot defeat the blueprint and the left-wing machine by continuing to do the same. We need accountability, and we have to take responsibility on ourselves as a party to expand and become an inclusive and innovative and values-driven party based on principles and our love for Colorado, and that will pave the way for a productive and effective Republican Party. So go to lockwoodforcolorado.com to learn more.
Lockwoodforcolorado.com. That's it, right?
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much, Jonathan Lockwood, and you're welcome back again. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Take care. Okay, folks, up next is Franktown Firearms. And right now, the wait times are short and ammunition is well stocked. Ask about KLZ discounts. Call 720-770-7777 or find Franktown at klzradio.com.
Before you actually start carrying a firearm, you need to develop the mindset of safety. Whether you consider yourself an experienced shooter or if you've never shot a gun, head trainer Karen Murray recommends signing up for the basic concealed carry class at Franktown Firearms first, because everyone has bad habits to break. You need to start with the basics, but you also can't walk out of a CCW class with a gun strapped to your hip thinking you're Jack Bauer. Once you've registered for your concealed carry permit, come back to Franktown Firearms for Karen's tactical pistol course to put your skills into practice. Karen will teach you the 6 steps to proper holster draw, giving you the chance to practice situational awareness in a safe environment. Karen loves watching her students leave her tactical pistol course at Franktown Firearms wearing their guns in their holsters for the first time. Register for a class now at klzradio.com/Franktown. Confidence through practice.
All right, Golden Eagle Financial. You know, we spoke with Al Smith yesterday. Remember that? And he knows how you can retire the right way, prepared for taxes, inflation, and all the needs you're going to face. Make that time of life the time of your life, because you've earned it. Call Al Smith at 303-744-1128 or find Golden Eagle Financial at klzradio.com.
Al Smith protects your nest egg from the high cost of long-term health care. Once you retire, you have one concern: making your money last. Founder of Golden Eagle Financial, KLZ's retirement planning specialist Al Smith, has worked in financial services for over 3 decades, specializing in retirement planning for the past 16 years. After all those years helping people manage their money, Al has spent a lot of time listening to his clients' concerns about retirement. Al has personally seen friends and relatives burn through their nest eggs in a matter of months, spending thousands of dollars a month on hourly health care, either at home or in assisted living. As part of your retirement plan with Golden Eagle Financial, Al will help you find alternative financial products with significant benefits in retirement, ensuring your nest egg can withstand the high cost of long-term health care. Schedule a free consultation with Al Smith now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Before you can run your business more efficiently, you must learn to manage your own time. As the business owner, you cannot allow yourself to get bogged down by menial tasks. Your time is too valuable. You need to stay focused on the big picture. Otherwise, you'll be exhausted and frustrated. You won't have time for your family, and your company won't grow. John Rush will show you how to delegate for the sake of your sanity and your bottom line. Send an email to john@rushtoreason.com.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Nancy with Metron Technology said, "We have used Business Equipment Service for many years. They are always pleasant to work with and responsive to our infrequent requests for service. We highly recommend them." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or need service on equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush. And on the line right now, we have our next candidate, Richard Mancuso. Richard, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now, Richard, you're getting into this late in the race. I'm going to ask you a moment to tell me why. But first, tell us a little about yourself. Where are you from?
Well, I consider 2 places home, Andy. Okay. Staten Island, New York, and Winona, Minnesota. So when I was growing up as a kid on Staten Island, it was like growing up in a small little Midwest village, put erroneously in the middle of New York City. So we didn't belong there. And from my house, you were able to see the ocean. There was woods across the street from my house. And from my house to the ocean was 1/4 mile, and it was all marshland. So me and my buddies would be out there playing soldiers all the time. And then to be in Winona, Minnesota, it was just like living the life of Tom Sawyer on the Mississippi River. It was a fantastic life. Had a lot of fun growing up and going to school and getting educated, and I was very, very fortunate and very blessed.
You know, Richard, I can hear the accent in both of those things. New York, I can hear that. And I can hear there was a little bit of the O with Minnesota. A little bit of the O there that you added in. I could tell. You're a blend of those two. That's pretty funny. Okay.
It was great.
Well, tell us a little about yourself.
Well, I came out of a law enforcement family. Most of my uncles and cousins were NYPD. Matter of fact, I just got a letter in the mail the other day written by Thomas E. Dewey to my uncle Anthony Edward Mancuso, congratulating him for his years on the NYPD, and that my uncle, under Tom Dewey, when Tom Dewey was special prosecutor and district attorney of New York, my uncle headed up the organized crime task force for the NYPD, and in those days had jurisdiction in all 48 states. So coming out of a police family, if you've ever watched the show Blue Bloods, sitting around that kitchen table on Sundays, that was my family. It's a show on TV that I can really relate to. So growing up as a kid, that's what I wanted to be. And then I went into education, from there into the military, back into education, and then went into corporate America. From corporate America, I started my own small chain of restaurants. And then after that, I've owned numerous, some successful, some not quite, businesses. So I put myself in the category of an entrepreneur and mostly a small businessman.
All right. Well, just so you know, before we go any further, I'm having everybody listen to a speech, a different one for each of you, because if you win and you have all those county chairs in front of you, every time you bring them in, I want you to say this.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take freedom!
That's right, Richard. I want you to get very serious with them. Are you comfortable doing that?
Yeah, I'm very comfortable. Go for it.
I'm not going to make you ride the horse. I think that, what?
Hey, Andy, I grew up.
Yeah, I also, and I Charlie says you don't have to paint your face. He's very nice. Now, I think maybe you should, but we can differ on that point.
I have no problem with that. You know, I'm Italian, so I can go either way.
All right.
I could be the Lone Ranger or Tonto. Makes no difference.
Well, the reason I'm saying that kind of thing is because if you take this job, you are entering into tough times. Obviously, we're way behind in this state. It has gone blue. We've been overwhelmed by all kinds of left-wing voters who have moved in from out of state, and they've basically moved in, taken over, and told us how to run our lives. And a lot of people in the Republican Party and on the right are very intimidated and afraid of that right now, and they're looking for leadership. They're afraid. I'll just be honest. They really are. This is a very important election. Now, let me ask you this before we go on. You're coming in late. Why are you coming in? What did you not see in the field before you came in that said, man, I got to get into this thing?
Well, you know, I embrace the 11th commandment by Ronald Reagan back in the 1960s when he was running for governor, that as a fellow Republican, I shall not say anything bad about a fellow Republican.
Great.
But I was approached by a number of people who were not happy with the candidates. They felt two of them were establishment, and they felt one was actually a Democrat in disguise looking to infiltrate our party and destroy it from within. We don't need help from outside to do that. We've done a hell of a good job ourselves over the last 20 years.
Oh, we're pros.
Well, we're pros at it. We're good.
Yeah.
You know, here we are. We've got people moving here from New Jersey, Illinois, and California. They're bringing their bad voting habits with them. They've destroyed the states they live in. And we expect that when they arrive here, they're going to become Republicans through osmosis. The Democrats are fantastic. They're fantastic at going out, knocking on doors, making phone calls, using emails, using technology to reach out to these people to register them as Democrats. The other thing the Dems are good at is the youth. They're going after the young kids and registering them as Democrats.
Always.
Always. And what have we done? We've set up a folding table and folding chair, and I hate saying it because I got white hair now, okay?
Okay.
But then we have a white-haired person sitting in that folding chair, smiling as people are walking into King Soopers and Safeway, saying, could I register you as a Republican? The answer is definitely no. So we've dropped the ball in so many areas. We've dropped the ball reaching out to minorities who I believe think more like we think, because what are we Republicans about? We're not getting our platform out. We're not getting our message out. And we need to get our message out. We need not only a communicator, but we need a small businessman. And I believe that being in small business, I've been blessed because in small business, you operate every aspect of your business. It's not like being in corporate America where you fill in one little void, one little gap. That's your position from the time you enter into management until you leave as a VP.
Hey, Richard, can I jump in? I got to jump in because you hit on something there. Small business people. I think if there is a field that is incredibly ripe for harvest coming into this next election in 2022 against Jared Polis, it's going to be small business leaders.
I'm going to give you an amen on that one, brother.
Yeah.
I mean, what you're going to say.
They are furious. I know of moderate and Democrat business owners, restaurateurs, and so forth, who cannot believe that when COVID hit, this governor never took one second to go to them and say, hey, how can I help you get more butts in the seats safely? Okay. How can we help us all get through this, but not at your expense? I mean, why should they go out of business and lose their jobs so we can be safer? Why shouldn't we be responsible to keep ourselves safer? We have a governor who drove a ton of these people out of business, and those who stayed in business are also angry, because it really hurt them. And so I'm getting to a point here. This is twofold. Number one, they may vote for us. And number two, they may donate.
100%. I agree with you. And I was going to go there. But, hey, I know you're a Wisconsin boy, so you think a lot like us Minnesota kids.
We do.
But 100%. I own restaurants. My wife owned the Briarwood Inn in Golden for years. We're a family of entrepreneurs. My one son's a general contractor. My other son's a stonemason. He's an artist. Can't make money. He's an artist. He's frustrated because he can't get good employees. The reason why, and even my son, the general contractor, can't get good employees. They can't get it because we're competing against a government that is too generous, giving people benefits, money, and all the perks that go along with it
to not work. Yeah, they're giving away. They're giving you more to not work than you get to work. And they, let's face it, you know darn well, Richard, they're doing it on purpose. They want to stretch this out.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. You know, it's. I'll quote Tom Tancredo, and this was a lot of years ago. I would say mid-'80s, maybe when he first got into Congress, although he may have been still with the Department of Education, I'm not sure, but in that basic time frame. And Tom turned to me one day and said, Rich, here's the problem with illegal immigration. The Democrats want the vote, and the Republicans want the cheap labor. And the number they're using is an old number. It's 20 years old, 11 million.
Yeah.
And that number was never accurate in the first place. More accurate would be somewhere between 30 to 40 million. And we bring in those people. What's going to happen? Especially to the jobs of the low earners, whether they're black, whether they're brown, whether they're white. I don't care. Low earners are going to be destroyed by these people because we're going to watch a lot of good people who want to support their families, do the right things, embrace the American dream the way you and I embraced it, and move on. But it's not going to happen. We've got a government that has become very, very evil. And I remember as a kid growing up, like I said, my uncles, my cousins, it was all NYPD. My father, vice president of Teamsters, representing sanitation workers in New York City. And there wasn't much of a gap between a Eisenhower and an Adlai Stevenson. There wasn't much of a gap. In those days, we were closer to being a republic. Today, we're much more a democracy. And democracies are one of the things our founding fathers did not want us to be, because they're chaotic. They fall apart, and then they're ripe for a totalitarian regime. And I believe that this is what's happening.
You know, Richard, let me jump in here, because just listening to you talk, I'm hearing some Trumpism. And that's a good thing. And what I mean is this. I have not heard a Colorado state chair talk in a way that connects with the working man. Okay, they're very educated, they're very sharp, they're very solid, and I support all of them except for one who voted Biden in the last election, so I don't support him.
But Ryan Call? Come on.
Yeah, no, yeah, I'm sorry. That infuriated me, but let me tell you.
I agree.
I have not heard a Colorado state chair sound like one of the working guys. You know, obviously you're very bright and you've made a lot of money. You know what you're doing, but you seem to talk in a way that's going to connect with voters across the span. And can we talk about that more after the break? Can I hold you over?
You betcha.
All right. We'll be right back with Richard Mancuso. First, Michael Bailey Law. Look at a government these days. Look at that government. Do you want them making decisions with your estate? Yikes. For someone you can trust, call Michael Bailey. Michael listens to your needs and helps make sure that your estate serves your loved ones in your way. Call Michael Bailey at 720-730-7274, or you can find him at klzradio.com.
KLZ's mobile estate planner knows how to protect your savings from healthcare costs, but you want to plan ahead. You worry about what might happen to your savings should you or your spouse need long-term care. Medicaid could ask you to spend down your assets, draining your accounts. You will feel so much better knowing that you have planned ahead to preserve your assets. Finishing your estate plan with Michael Bailey Law feels like such a relief. Ask Michael Bailey about setting up an asset protection trust. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/estate.
Purefoy Chevrolet, they're loaded with gorgeous 2021s and an awesome set of Corvettes. So relax, have fun again, and be treated like family. Give Purefoy a call at 303-659-8311 or go to purefoychevrolet.com.
You know, when I go into Purefoy Chevrolet, they don't give you that feel like they're there to take your money or they only care about the sale. They really, truly seem to care about me, and that means a lot to me. I've had the privilege of going into Purefoy Chevrolet to see Roly's office. And when you see Roly Purefoy and his family, and especially his father, because his dad was so involved in this business, you really get a sense of what it means for it to be a family. Then when you see customers come in, you also realize that they treat their customers the same way they would their family members. It was very clear that the customers come back again and again and again. There's kind of this real family feel of they want you to come in, be so pleased that you'll continue to come in and have a pleasant experience, and people that treat you like family, and you can't get better than that. So that really has stuck with me, and I think that's really something unique about Purefoy Chevrolet that means you should go there.
Hi, I'm Roly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
American National Insurance, folks, with fires, blizzards, like what's coming this weekend, by the way, you need someone who's there to help you plan and help you recover. Make sure you have the coverage you really need in unpredictable times by calling Paul Leuenberger at 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789. And ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush. On the line right now is Richard Mancuso, running for Colorado GOP state chair. Richard, let me give you a couple questions that come from the listeners. They come from the people out there who have said what they would like to ask. Sound good?
You got it.
All right, here we go. This comes from Anil Mathia. I asked this one earlier. I want to know what each candidate will get done in 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, 24 months. What are your kind of benchmarks that you want to get done with the party in that time?
Well, I haven't set a benchmark of 6 months, 1 year, year and a half, so forth and so on. What I'm concerned with most is if I was fortunate enough and blessed with this position, number one, I would want to go in and audit the entire office. Number two, I would want to see job descriptions for each employee that we have there right now. I'd like to see if people are duplicating efforts.
Okay, step back. Audit the office. So you mean just audit where all the money is going, see where the waste is and so forth?
I want to see where the money is. I want to see where the waste is. I want to know every aspect of it. Yes.
All right. Continue.
Okay. Then what we're looking at is evaluating the people that we have in the office. Is there duplication? That, to me, is important. The other thing that we need to do is we need to bring in a person who can bring in more young people. We need to bring in people who have a technological savvy and can bring in more young people. We need to bring in a person, and I'll throw out a name because I just think this guy's a wonderful human being and a wonderful individual, Casper, to bring in more black people who think the way we think. You know, when I look at the values of the Republican Party, and this is something we're not getting across, where we stand on issues. We're not getting across our platform. And how are we going to bring in people in if we don't get that message across? And then the same thing with the Hispanic community. These people share our values for family, our sanctity of life, marriage. So they're much more, and work ethic. So they're much more in line with a person like you and me. And, you know, you were saying something before the break that I sound more blue collar.
You do.
I sound more like Trump, blue collar. Well, that's because when you grow up in the streets, those are the people you rub shoulders with every day. And I have the greatest admiration in the world for the person who works and produces and does things to benefit themselves, their family, and society.
All right.
And that's where we're seeing the major void today.
Okay. Really quick here, name three steps you would take on election integrity.
Wow.
Two or three.
You know,
what are some things you would do?
let me throw a few out.
Sure.
I feel that what happened in the past was many of our county clerks, as well as our Secretary of State, they got lazy. And they looked at mail-in ballots, they looked at voting machines and said, wow, this is going to make our day easier, and in the long run, it's going to be a lot less expensive. Now, along with that also comes the possibility of fraud. So what I said something one day, and I said, you know, I would like to see us go on a moratorium for maybe just two voting cycles, where people would actually have to vote in person, show their physical ID, and we need to really, really have good poll watchers. The minute that envelope leaves the ballot, we're in trouble. The minute they're separated, we're in trouble. You have to have the good poll watchers watching all this. So that's the way I see it at this time.
Okay.
You know, I don't want to put as much focus on it as some other people do. Because here's where I'm going to go with this. The 1948 election was stolen from us. In those days, it was Cook County, Chicago, Illinois. It gave the entire state to Truman. Now, I'm a historian. When I got out of business, I got very, very bored and said, what do I have to do to teach? I taught for another 12, 14 years at Devlin High School and was Teacher of the Year four times, received the J.B. Wilson Award for Academic Excellence. So I look at things as a historian. The problems we're seeing in the state of Colorado today have taken 20 years to muster. It's been a cancer. So we need someone that's going to be hard-nosed, knows how to deal with the Democrats. Now, here's the deal. The Democrats are tough.
Yeah.
And we always give in to them, hoping that maybe next time down the road they'll give in to us. They never do. But we can be tough and still be honest, ethical, and moral. And that's where they're lacking.
Okay. Here's one that comes from Mark Miller down in Colorado Springs. How will you encourage our Republican politicians to stand up for our rights and take a firmer stance on protecting conservative values? And really quick, I understand as state chair, you're not in charge of the candidates, right? But
that is true.
But you're also going to be there in a position watching them go out there and, shall we say, collapse, fall apart. And you know how much they're going to be alienating their base when they do that. How will you speak to them and maybe advise them to stand up?
That's where Trump was excellent. What Trump gave the Republican Party for the first time, and it's something that I've been complaining about for years, and I was so proud of him doing it, he finally gave us courage. He gave us, I want to use an expression, but it might be censored on your show, but he finally gave us the guts and the fortitude to stand up to the Democrats. And that's why he was under such heavy attack constantly. They don't like when a Republican stands up to them. But the thing that we need to do is, if I can go back to, and again, as a historian, I do this, Andy, and I apologize. But I remember as a kid telling my dad, Dad, I want to get into politics. And my dad was vice president of Teamsters. And he looked at me, typical New Yorker he was, good guy, you would have loved him, Andy. And he looked at me and sort of from the side of his mouth, almost like a scene from the movie Godfather, he said, what are you, stupid? He says, are you kidding me? He says, look, you go to college, get a college degree, become a union boss. We own those people. So in those days, the union bosses did own a lot of the politicians, the same way the corporate bosses owned a lot of politicians. But in those days, they handpicked the candidate that was the centrist. Today we have primary elections. So the wackos on the far left are choosing their communist and socialist leaders. We on the far right become reactionaries, and 70% of us in the middle feel that we're not being represented. And I think that's the frustration today. But my thing, again, going back to Ronald Reagan, don't speak poorly about a fellow Republican.
Well, let me jump into that, if I may, because we've got only a minute and a half here. Unity is a huge problem in the party.
I thought you promised that this was a six-hour show with me.
I know. I lied because I'm in politics. You see, we lie all the time. No, we got about a minute and a half to go. What would you do to unify the wings? Because you've got the moderates and you've got, let's face it, you've got the grassroots liberty and you've got more of the moderate establishment. They hate each other. How are you going to get them to work with each other? Do that in about 30 seconds.
I can do that very, very easily because that's just the way I grew up, bringing everybody together. You grow up tough in the streets. You learn how to negotiate. You learn how to bring people together. Listen, the Democrats, when they lock themselves in a room, it's a bigger bloodbath than ours. The only thing is when they come out, they walk lockstep. And we got to teach our people to walk lockstep. Do not speak badly about each other. Don't pull a Mitt Romney against Trump. Don't pull a Trump against Mitt Romney.
Got it. Okay. Last question. If you don't win, will you pledge to fully support the Colorado GOP?
Definitely. Without a doubt. I mean, I got involved in the Republican Party at the age of six, putting up flyers on people's doors when Eisenhower was running against Adlai Stevenson. This is my party, and I believe that we're in a war, and we've got to win that war. We're the only thing that's going to save this country from socialism and communism. And you see what happened in Nevada yesterday in the Democrat Party when they elected their chair and vice chair and so forth and so on.
Okay, really quick, Richard, how can people reach you and help you out?
The people can reach me by calling me on my cell phone, 303-915-7574.
Fantastic. That's Richard Mancuso bringing a little bit of Trumpism to the race. Thank you so much, Richard. You can come back anytime. Take care.
Thank you so much, Andy. Have a good day.
Have a good day. Okay, folks, that's it for hour number one. If you missed this hour, it replays at 6. Coming up next hour, we'll speak with Gary Goldman on the border crisis, Scott Gessler running for state chair, David Williams on HR1, which is the Democrats' attempt to basically eliminate anything resembling elections that are honest. Until then, keep it right here at Rush to Reason KLZ 560.